Blog Talk Radio.
On the Acropolis, the Greeks have introduced the olive tree into Italy. Aesop is writing his fables. Buddha is thriving in Asia. The Phoenicians have navigated around Africa. And lastly, but not least, we have Daniel in Babylon, remaining faithful to God under severe adversity. This particular book is called apocalyptic literature, like the book of Revelation is apocalyptic material. It is interesting that communist governments have forbade the preaching of the Book of Daniel because it foretells their doom and the triumph of God. In fact, Daniel's focus is the triumph of God over human history. In chapter 1 of the book of Daniel, in verse 2, we have the verb carried off. And Judah was in exile to Babylon because she disobeyed God's word regarding their covenant relationship with them, and also the failure to keep Sabbath days. The term Sabbath in Hebrew is very interesting because it means rest. And in the book of Genesis, at the end of God's creative activity, we read that God rested, or literally caught his breath, which is a very interesting term. And so, and for idolatry. So we have three reasons why God's people went into exile. Failure to keep the covenant regulations, failure to keep the Sabbath years, and heinous idolatry. There were three deportations to Babylon as recorded in the Word of God. The first deportation took place in 605 BC, and this was the first deportation which included Daniel. The second took place in 597, and Ezekiel was taken away during that time. And then there was a third deportation in 586, in which the Babylonians razed Jerusalem and the temple. Daniel was a part of the royal family. In chapter 1 of Daniel, verse 2, well, let me begin at verse 1. It reads, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord delivered Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. Notice God's place in history. And we see that God is at work in the midst of his people, in the midst of their rebellious activity. So we read about God's providence in delivering his people into the hands of the Babylonian king, that is Nebuchadnezzar. And note also, along with some of the articles from the temple of God. And these items of the temple were carefully cataloged and put away. And if you read about the post-exilic period, which includes Ezra and Nehemiah, there's more information given about the articles of the temple and what happened to them and how wonderfully God took care of them. And so these he carried off to the temple of his God in Babylon and put in the treasure house of his God. Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. Might I say at this time, which included the Epic of Gilgamesh, which is an account, Babylonian account, of course, of the Mabul, the universal flood narrative. And the Bible never uses the term flood for the cataclysmos, as Peter uses the term. And the term cataclysmos literally means the dashing down. The Bible never uses the term flood. It is Mabul. It is this incredible, universal, catastrophic event. So, in verse 5, the king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table. They were to be trained for 3 years, and after that they were to enter the king's service. Among these were some from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, and Mishael, and Azariah. The chief official gave them new names. To Daniel, the name Belshazzar. To Hananiah, Shadrach. And to Mishael, Meshach. And to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He asked the official for permission not to defile himself in this way. This information is very interesting because we see that Daniel and his friends are in exile. They are no longer in their homeland. They are in a foreign country. They have been chosen to be groomed for civil service. And you see that they are to be educated. They are to be, and they were given new names. Now note that the education was indoctrination. They were to be taught the language and literature of the Babylonians. And also, we read in verse 7, the chief official gave them new names. These events were set in motion in order to have these young men forget the past and to be completely dependent upon the king and his resources. And so they were given, once again, education, that is, indoctrination for 3 years, and they were given new names. But Daniel said nothing about the education. He knew that he had been trained in Yahwism. He knew his God. Daniel said nothing about the new name because he knew who he was and to whom he belonged. But when it came to the food was assigned to them, according to verse 5, from the king's table, Daniel resolved not to defile himself, because Daniel understood that this food was not kosher. He understood that the food was not prepared according to the Hebrew dietary law. And Daniel understood the importance of what were the spiritual implications of eating food from the king's table, because this food was also sacrificed to idols. And Daniel did not want to be polluted in this manner. Now, this is very interesting because, once again, he is in exile from Judah. He is in exile from his homeland. He has been taken away. Yet, we never hear from his lips that God abandoned him. And so, why should he remain faithful to God, the God who has abandoned him, the God who has left him in seemingly dire straits? Why not just compromise and give oneself over to the situation completely? Why resolve, stay pure in the face of adversity? And so we see the importance of verse 8. Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food. Now, and so Daniel realized something very important. Daniel realized that in his relationship with God, everything mattered, even what he ate. Even what he ate. Daniel understood that food implied fellowship with the Babylonian cultural system, and that by Eastern standards, to eat or share a meal was to commit oneself to friendship. Daniel knew this in his heart, and he knew that this would place him in spiritual compromise. I want you to realize that Satan uses the same strategy against you and I. Satan wants us to feed on what the world offers, not on the Word of God. And Satan wants us to identify by name with the world system. He wants us to forget who we are and whose we are. He wants us to be trained in cosmic principles. And therefore Satan wants us to educate ourselves in the ways of the world. In the book of Galatians, Paul writes that if I please men, then I cannot be the servant of God. The two are mutually exclusive. There are no blurred boundaries. There is classic yay or nay. There is yes and no. This is classic moral dualism. This is not moral synthesis, as some would have us to think, as some would have us to practice. There is a distinctiveness, there is an otherness to who we are as the community of God, as the ecclesia, as the church. The Greek term ecclesia, the preposition ek means to go out from. And so the ecclesia, with the feminine case ending with the alpha, means the group of called out ones. We have been called out from cosmos. According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, you and I were dead in trespasses and sin, but now we have been made alive in Christ Jesus. So we are different. We were spiritually resurrected with Jesus in 33 AD. We were identified with him in his death through crucifixion. We were buried with him, and we were co-raised with him, according to Paul in Romans 6. We were co-raised, we were co-crucified, we were co-buried, and we were co-raised with him. And so we are distinctive, we are different, and the world wishes to compromise that distinctiveness. And Daniel was placed in this situation in which his spiritual distinctiveness would be compromised. So we read verse 8, something very powerful. Daniel resolved not to pollute himself with the royal food and wine. And this required courage. And he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. This was an amazing decision. Daniel decided to be faithful to God. And some might think, well, why be faithful to God, or why make a big deal out of a little thing? Now, please note that a youth, or Daniel and his friends, were between the ages of 13 and 17 years old at the time they were deported from Judah. So, why is Daniel making a big deal out of a little thing like food? Once again, Daniel understood, or Daniel realized, that in his relationship with God, everything mattered, even what he ate, even what he took into his body. He understood sanctification. He understood what it meant to be set aside unto God. Paul writes that you and I are the temple of the living God. That is, the Holy Spirit of God has come to live in our hearts. We have within our hearts the presence of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, and our hearts are called the inner sanctuary of the temple. Now, note, the temple in the wilderness had the holy place, and then behind the curtain, we had the Holy of Holies, in which we had the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat that was overlaid with gold. And on either side of the mercy seat, on top of the mercy seat, we had the cherubim. The I am is plural in Hebrew. And so once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle blood over the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the people of God. That gold mercy seat, or that golden mercy seat, was a type of the person of Jesus. Gold was always symbolic of deity. And so the gold was overlaid, underneath the gold was wood. And so we have a picture of the humanity of Christ in the wood, and we have a picture of the deity of Christ in the gold. So we have the union of deity and humanity in the person of Christ. And so the sprinkling of the blood, we note that without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. That word remission means forgiveness. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness for sin. And God forgave us for our sin in Christ Jesus. Adversities come into our lives, and we are not to use adversity as an excuse to sin. And Daniel would not allow adversity to control his spiritual destiny. Daniel knew that God had led him to, and so, therefore, God would lead him through the situation. Daniel took a stand. Verse 8, Daniel resolved not to defile himself. And because Daniel decided or resolved not to defile himself, God acted. In verse 9, God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. Because of Daniel's resolve, because of his decision to be faithful, God blesses his faithfulness. Why are we to be faithful to God in little things? Because it is in the little things that God tests us. We are tested in the a little thing. Jesus himself said that if one cannot be trusted with little things, how shall great treasures be entrusted to such a one? And so be aware of the little things in your life and what they are meant to teach. Be aware that the little things are powerful teaching tools of God. They're used by him. We may not be seen or noted for the little things of faith. Not many knew what was going on in Daniel's life at this time, so that he could get acclaim, so that he could receive applause. Daniel didn't write a book about his resolve. He didn't go on a speaking tour. He didn't tweet it. He did not put it on Facebook. He did not show up on Instagram. But God saw and God noted Daniel's faithfulness. So God showed him faith. Verse 10, but the official told Daniel, I'm afraid of my lord the king who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men your age? And the official's concern was right. The king would then have my head because of you. Daniel then said to the guard who the chief official had appointed over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants in day. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young man who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. Verse 14, so he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nursed than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Note Daniel, test your servants. Wonderful faith. Test your servants in small things. God blesses those who trust him, who rely upon him. We're told to lean not on our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. He shall direct our path. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him. We're told to walk by faith and not by sight. Listen to the words of the Word of God. Listen to what the scriptures tell us. We're to walk by faith, not by sight. The world requires, says, exhaustive empirical evidence. The Bible says that we are to walk by epistemism. It is by trusting and reliance upon the faithfulness of God. Are you faithful to God in small things? Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.